it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join me again this week for another exciting podcast out there in the podcastosphere. Well, I figure if bloggers can have a blogosphere, then there's bound to be a podcastosphere. Yeah, make them up whenever you can, and that's one of those times, I guess. Anyway, Dr. Bill here, you're there, and all's right with the world, because that's the way it should be, right? You're listening, and I'm talking. Well, you know, you can do your own podcast if you want to. That's the great thing about podcasting. Anybody can join in on the revolution and do a podcast, and even little old me can share my words of wisdom or words of something, I'm not sure what, as we get into the podcast today. Once again, Adam Winter is not on the podcast, and I'm really bummed about that again, but hey, what can I say? I guess being a college student is probably about as time-consuming as being a computer curmudgeon. What can I say? He's just really busy, tied up with all the rigors of college life, all the very important things. Like today, he, in pursuit of his education and setting the course for his life, he is down in the Charlotte area going to Carowinds. So because of that, he couldn't join us on the podcast. So, okay. Just go have fun. Okay. That's okay. You know, I'm okay with that. We'll have him on before too long, and we'll talk about the things that we were going to talk about were he here to talk about them. In the meantime, let me catch you up on what's been going on this week in the world of tech. One of the most exciting things to me personally is that it's finally official. OpenOffice 2.0 is out. We're not talking about beta version. We're not talking about feature release versions. We're talking about the real final Office OpenOffice 2.0 version, and it is out. And as I say in my blog, it truly rocks. And also, as I say, if you've been living under a rock somewhere, OpenOffice is a totally free, capital F-R-E-E, free open source office suite. It runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. It's just awesome. Now, one reason that it's so awesome is that it does what 99.9% of all users of Microsoft Word need a word processor to do. It does what 99.9% of all Excel users need in a spreadsheet, in its spreadsheet portion, which is Calc. And a lot of people say, yeah, but what about Access? Well, guess what? The new version has its own built-in open source database. And that database will read Access databases. And it's free. I can't say that enough, because if you were to go out and legally obtain Microsoft Office, you would pay at least $200 in most cases. Now, I know some of you saying, yeah, but I get it at student discount. Well, if you didn't get it at a student discount, you'd pay probably $350+ to get all the different components that OpenOffice would represent, were they to compare over to Microsoft Office. But the key is, the major difference is that OpenOffice is free. Yes, free. Now, this means that you can download OpenOffice, you can install OpenOffice, you can use OpenOffice and be totally legal. No Microsofties knocking at your door or wanting to do an audit on your PC to see if you're running illegal software. Nobody giving you a hard time whatsoever, and no dollars going into the evil empire's pockets. Oh, you just gotta love that. So I would encourage you to get it. Now you might say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, people send me Word docs as email attachments. Well, first of all, you shouldn't open email attachments. Remember last week I told you don't open email attachments? Well, okay, besides that, if you absolutely had to open one, then OpenOffice will open a Word document and open it perfectly correctly, and it'll work, and it'll be perfect. He said, yeah, but okay, so I open it, but then I need to make a change. I need to send it back to the person that sent it to me, and it needs to be in Word format because they don't have OpenOffice. Well, number one, you can tell them, what in the world are you using Office for? Download OpenOffice version 2. It's out. It's free. But even if you knew they weren't going to do that, you could just say, okay, fine. I'll take the document. I'll edit it in OpenOffice. Then I'll save as a Word document. You email it right back to them, and they'll never know the difference. Oh, you gotta love that. Total document compatibility, and it's free. I just love it. Okay, so stick it to the man and get OpenOffice 2.0. You will appreciate the fact that the doctor recommended that to you. And see, what you need to do is recommend it to everybody else, too. Now, it's easy to remember the URL to get OpenOffice. It is OpenOffice, that's OpenOffice, OpenOffice.org, because it is nonprofit, as in not making a profit, as in not feeding the giant evil empire. Oh, yeah, just got to love it. So it's out. Enjoy that. Okay, what else is happening that I blogged about this past week? Well, I didn't blog all that much, actually. I was kind of busy at my new job over at Center for Creative Leadership. We've been rolling out a bunch of new desktops that are both new machines in some cases, as well as Microsoft Windows XP. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It's okay. I'd rather it be Linspire or some other version of Linux, but hey, you know, you go with the corporate world's desires. They're the ones paying me the money. I install what they want me to install. So there you go. So we're rolling that out, and it's keeping us really busy. And, of course, there's much going on there. They do stay very busy there, and great bunch of folks. I really appreciate being back at the center. It really is a kick, and I enjoy that. So hi, guys, all of you at the center. You know, I'm waving. You can't see that because it's a podcast, but I'm waving. Okay. Other things that I blogged about this week, the very few things that I did blog about, was that we now have a free 411. That's the information number on the phone for those of you who, as Rush would say, are in Rio Linda. 411 service, where you dial 411, you get information. Well, that costs you money. And you know what the doctor's all about is saving you money. So, here's a free 411 information service. All you got to do is go to free411.com. How easy to remember is that? Free411.com. Now, that's the numbers, not spelled out. The numbers 411. So, F-R-E-E 411.com. You do that, and you'll have a free 411 service. Great. So, take advantage of that. Another thing I blogged about real quickly, since there weren't that many items since last week's podcast, is that there is now a natural gas-powered Honda. Now, I shouldn't put it quite that way. Basically, what it is, it's an article about an Edmunds review of someone who took a new Honda Civic GX, put a natural gas conversion kit on it, and it really did great. And the review was just, I thought, excellent. They had a few issues with the fact that it's kind of hard to find natural gas pumps. Okay, yeah, I can understand that. But here's the way this works. They took a 2005 Honda Civic GX, and they installed this kit, which is a special kit with, you know, a special tank and conversion, basically. And then it runs on compressed natural gas. Now, what's cool is it's very efficient. And here's what they said about it. They said that, first of all, it cuts the truck space in half to allow for the larger natural gas tank. It then coupled the 1.7-liter four-cylinder engine to a continuously variable transmission. By using it, you get various tax incentives. And the total cost for the car with the conversion was $21,760. Which, to you and me, personally, now, like I've told you before, I'm about to turn 50 in November, so I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to think that $21,760 is a whole lot of money for a car. But if you look at a lot of cars these days, that's not that much more expensive than other cars that are quote unquote normally priced cars. I saw a commercial recently where they were touting this wonderful car. Oh, yeah, it's so wonderful. And then they said, and it starts at only $48,950. And I was like, what? Only? You can't even use the word only in the same sentence with $48,950. But anyway, it must be some car. But at any rate, this car is, you know, under $22,000. Yet, with this special natural gas engine, it gets the equivalent of 30 miles per gallon. Now, that's cool, but it gets cooler. It's hard to compare compressed natural gas to gasoline in a one-to-one relationship. It's kind of an apple and oranges kind of thing. But if you compare it, it works out to about a dollar a gallon, gallon being relative since it's a compressed gas. So, you know, well, a little over a dollar again, $1.79 a gallon. But still, you think about that. $1.79 equivalent a gallon, you're getting 30 miles to the gallon, and you also are getting extreme fuel efficiency. You're getting very little pollution. I mean, it just seems like a really good way to go. So I'm thinking that they ought to start looking into things like this. I'm all for alternative fuels. Now, I know. Dr. Bill is not an environmentalist wacko. I'm a pretty conservative kind of guy, you know, one of those right-wing wackos, you know, okay. But I still like this alternative fuel thing. And the reason is because I don't want to give the, how can I put this delicately, the Arabic countries any more money than we need to. Most of the oil reserves are in these countries that are currently, shall we say, not friendly to the United States. Well, you know, if they're not friendly to us, and they decided that they wanted to hold it over our heads, now, they'd be cutting their own throats in doing so because we're the ones paying them all the money, but it would say that their ideology got ahead of their common sense, which is probably in fairly short supply anyway. And they decided to hold it over us. That puts us in a very bad position. And as a tried and true, red-blooded American flag-waving boy that I am, I don't think that's a good idea. So I think alternative fuels are good from both an economic standpoint, because it causes scientific development, which spurs the economy and creates a whole new type of economy with these new fuel incentives and so forth and technologies. Plus, it puts us in a better position in terms of political freedom, if you will, in the world. And it's just plain cool from a scientific point of view. So the doctor likes these things, you know. I'm not going to go out and hug any trees, but I do like what it does for us geopolitically. A podcast where the doctor said geopolitically. You gotta love that. Well, anyway, that's pretty much what I blogged about this week. So it was a slow blog week. Okay. However, there are a couple of things that I did want to mention that I had blogged about earlier that I didn't mention in previous podcasts just because I'm sorry it slipped my mind. I'm really sorry. But one of the big things is that you've heard me talk about before that I am very, 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 very into open source. That's why I'm so excited about OpenOffice 2.0 being out now. Very into open source. Very excited about open source tools. And one of the coolest open source programs that has come out in recent months, and within the last year anyway, is one called Pod Producer. It is the tool that I'm using to do this podcast right now. And it is an extremely well-written, well-conceived program. It has a little timer that I'm watching right now that shows that I'm at 14 minutes, 27 seconds into the program. It's showing me a VU meter that's jumping up and down here, green, yellow, red, as it shows, you know, how my voice is modulating. The dulcet tones of the doctor are modulating there. It gives me the opportunity to record, pause, stop, just like a regular recorder would. And it also gives me an opportunity to put various songs or interviews or whatever as files that I can then play with just the touch of a button, or in this case, the click of a mouse. Although there's no click, obviously, because that would be bad to have a click. So the buttons don't click, but it's a really neat little program, Pod Producer. And Pod Producer is written by a gentleman in Mexico. And Pod Producer is totally open source, totally free. And I noticed that the guy who wrote it, his URL for Pod Producer was this long string, you know, it was just really hard to, it's hard to tell somebody go to Pod Producer and pick it up if it's just really a long string that's hard to deal with. Well, what I did is I sent him an email and I said, hey, listen, Alfredo's name's Alfredo Roma. I said, Alfredo, if you would like, I can host your site for you if you want to go out and get an appropriate domain name, and I'll host Pod Producer for you. And he was interested in doing that. You know, he said, hey, free, cool, that's, you know, it's basically because I like to support open source. So he went out and registered podproducer.net, podproducer.net. Now, you may wonder why I spell out URLs like that. Because it's sometimes hard to understand my accent. And if you hear me say something, what do you say? Then at least if I spell it out, you've got a little better chance of actually getting there. But if you go to podproducer.net, you'll see that he very graciously put a little thank you note on his website, which is actually very clean, very nice little website about Pod Producer. And it is in both Spanish and English, Español and Inglés. And so I would encourage you to go out and check out Pod Producer. It really is a quality piece of software, and it is open source and totally free, as I said. So you'll enjoy that. Now, speaking of things that you'll enjoy, let me share something else with you this week. I mentioned at the top of the podcast Adam Winter, and Adam is a really cool character. He's a guy that I met when I worked at the county. He was an intern there as a high school student, and he's now gone on to college to the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. And in his blog, he introduced me to something that just, it's one of those things, you know, I was talking to my wife, Belinda, and she was saying, why do you want to put that on the podcast? And I said, because it's part of geek culture, you see. And when you hear this, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Geek culture. Geek culture has to do with things like, you know, last week when we played, or was it the week before? I don't remember. But anyway, when we played the All Your Base Are Belong to Us. Now, see, that was part of geek culture. You had to understand where it came from and what it was about. Well, this is a little flash presentation, and it's called the Llama Song. Now, I understand you can't see the pictures. You can't see the flash in the podcast, but you can hear the music. And when the music is over, I will give you the URL to go to this particular place on the web where your mind can be rotted just like the rest of us by hearing the Llama Song. Well, there you go, the Llama Song. And you go, Dr. Bill, I don't understand that at all. You might not have even understood the words. Well, that's because of the tone in which it's sung and so forth. However, if you go to the site and watch the flash production of the Llama Song, they will actually display the words as the guy is singing it, and you will be able to understand the words. So let me give you that URL, www.albinoblacksheep.com. Don't ask me why, I don't know. albinoblacksheep.com/flash/llama, and of course, as we know, llama is spelled L-L-A-M-A, and then it is a .php file, so of course, .php. So, llama.php found at albinoblacksheep.com/flash/llama.php. Go to that link, watch the flash production of the Lama song, and you will understand, my friend, what we're talking about when we talk about the addition to geek culture that it most certainly is. And I appreciate Adam sharing that with me, because it has it's been very useful to both enjoy the nuances of the song, trying to derive the meaning and the depth of the song, and of course also sharing it with people just to see their brains rot. Lots of fun, and you can share that link with others and say, you know, as Adam did, here's a great thing I found on the web, check it out. And then you watch it and go, the boy really needs help. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed the Lama song, and I know once you see it, you really will enjoy it. And perhaps you, too, will look forward to retiring and becoming a duck. All right. You really got to check out the Lama song. I'm telling you. Something you must see. So, what else has been happening in the week of tech other than the Lama song? Well, let's check it out. We'll go to one of my favorite websites, which is digdigg.com, and we will check out what the top stories are. Lots of things have been happening in This Week in Tech, which, by the way, is another good podcast to listen to, This Week in Tech, which can be found at thisweekintech.com. Leah Laporte and the gang will be glad to share with you what is going on, but for right now, we'll just check it out. Let's see. Well, now, these first few little things that they have are pretty doggone boring, so I'm not going to get into that. Let's see what else we have here. HD TV definitions. That's actually kind of helpful, because HD TV is a world that is very difficult to understand. I would encourage you to listen to... what is his name? Heron on the guy that was on Tech TV. Cannot remember his first name. Somebody will have to help me with that at some point. Maybe send me an email. But at any rate, he is an expert on all things HDTV, and the dig link here on HDTV definitions is very handy to understand what all those acronyms and all those terms mean. There's a list there of 35 terms and definitions that will give you at least some understanding of what it is that they're talking about. So I'd encourage you to check that out. Let's see. What else is happening? There's got to be more going on than this. This is ridiculous. Ah, here we go. There we go. That's better. I kept clicking on what was going on this week, and I got nothing. I mean, was it that bad a week? Come on. Okay. What else is happening? Slashdot is losing its edge to dig.com. Well, that makes sense, and we're talking about dig right now, digg.com. It's the place that geeks go to find out what's happening in the world, as I am doing right now. And Slashdot has been up to this point. However, it is beginning to lose some market share to the folks over at Dig. So Commander Taco needs to watch out. He's being usurped. And there's a lot of people that say that dig.com is a Web 2.0 application because it is social networking of news, and I would kind of agree that it is a much cooler way to get your news, because you're getting news that is of interest to people just like you and me, other geeks, and so, you know, it kind of does strike your fancy if you get into it. Let's see, using Google to download free movies, now let's not get into that. How to get by on only 4.5 hours of sleep, not really interested, because I like sleep, and I do more than 4.5 hours whenever possible. Let's see. There's really not a whole lot there of interest. You know, maybe it has been a slow week in tech. This is pretty silly. Dig.com was included in PC Magazine's top 101 favorite websites. Hey, that's pretty cool. Kind of a Dig.com day, huh? Let's see. Marijuana might cause new cell growth in the brain. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but anybody that was smoking marijuana probably wouldn't know if they had new cell growth in the brain. So, hey, there you go. Google Wallet sign up. Why that got 1,275 digs to go to the page to sign up for Google Wallet, I have no idea. But there you go. What else? Blu-ray got some buzz this week. You know, there's a big to-do between which DVD format is going to make it, whether it's going to be Blu-ray or whether it's going to be, I think it's HVD. And there was some discussion about Hewlett-Packard supporting Blu-ray, but then asking for features that's in the HVD format. And so it's once again brought into question of who's going to win out on that. And, you know, I don't know, as long as they decide. I just want them to decide what the standard is, okay? Don't keep us hanging with that. Could be this, could be that, could be this, could be that. And there are advantages to one over the other. You know, they both have various, you know, advantages and other disadvantages. So it's a trade-off. It's really not a clear win. And I can remember back to the VHS and Beta deal with videotape. And everybody was wondering, you know, is Beta going to win? Is VHS going to win? We're kind of right back in that same position of not knowing which format is going to be the winning format, and it's really a bummer. I mean, we need to know which way we're going. Everybody's just decide, and then we'll move on to the next, you know, level technologically of DVDs and enjoy the benefits. But until then, we're kind of stuck. So somebody just decide, okay? But anyway, that's sadly about the only thing I found that's really of any interest. You know, I'm not reading every single little thing on Dig. If you want just the top 10 things that's happening on Dig, you can always listen to the Dig Nation podcast. And I don't want to just redo what they're talking about, but I go through and look at the things that are of interest to me. Like, for instance, you know, one of the second most dug things this past week was about Jack Thompson. I have no interest. I don't care. So, therefore, I'm not going to talk about Jack Thompson, you know. These are things that are of interest to me that I see as I scroll through and look at the things that that come up on Dig that people were talking about and digging this week. So, you know, that's why it's not the same thing as Dig Nation when you listen to Dr. Bill. Not only that, but I'm going to also give you technical recommendations of things that will help you. And my biggest one this week is Open Office, Open Office, Open Office. Go out and get Open Office. Spread the word about it. Tell your friends. Tell your classmates. Tell your coworkers. Tell your you know, grandmother who doesn't even have a computer but really needs one so she can run Open Office. Tell everybody about Open Office and steal as much market share away from Microsoft as you possibly can, because that, my friend, is your duty as an American citizen. Thank you very much. Okay, so Open Office open source software, and I mentioned PodProducer, podproducer.net. Go there, and you will appreciate the quality of open source software. I tell you, you just gotta love it when it's that good and that free. Because I looked at other pod production packages, and I tell you, we're talking some of them $299, and they don't even do half of what Pod Producer does, and it's free. You gotta love free. Here's the thing about free. Free is easy on the pocketbook. You ever notice that? Free doesn't affect your checking account level at all. Free helps you save money, which is also good for the economy. You're doing your part to save the economy by using open source software. Oh, you gotta love it. All right. So there you go. Use open source, high quality software for free. End of commercial. Alrighty. What else is happening that we want to talk about? I believe I have gone through all the things that I had thought to talk about this week. And we're down to the last 50 seconds of the podcast anyway. So I'll just continue to talk mindlessly for a few more seconds until the program is over with. And I will be right with the world. How's that? Okay. Well, join me next week. Yeah, you need to, because you got to hear the doctor. But for right now, I guess the doctor is out.